I'll go home and pack my clothes. You go get your these and those, and away we'll go. Off we're gonna shuffle, shuffle off to Buffalo.
Well, good morning, and it is finally day four of the 4F convention, and we have just finished having our first lecture of the day at 11 o'clock with Zeki, I think it is, from South Korea. And, of course, as we mentioned earlier, that this whole thing is honoring our guest, who is Stephen Bregazzi, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome you today. Hello,
hey,
buddy.
Hey, Scott, man. We meet again,
we
Scott.
We do. We have talked so many times on other podcasts over here at different places around the conventions, everything, and so, but now you are the guy, you know, that you're the hot person to touch.
Right. It means that 4F has officially reached the bottom of the barrel. That's what I think.
Yeah, and but you've been coming, you were saying in your lecture a couple nights ago, for 14 years, 12
yeah.
years?
14. Yeah. I think it's, this is my 14th, and mm-hmm. nine of them I closed the Saturday night show. Mm-hmm. I have broken two ribs.
Was that when you were wrestling with Roger Klaus?
With Roger Klaus. Roger Klaus beat me and put over 35 bruises on my back. My wife counted them.
had a baseball bat or something, too.
Yes, he had a baseball bat and beat the bejesus out of me. And I've taken a lot of things. Vic Mayo beat me up enough with a pan, so I had to go get an epidural in my neck twice from him hitting me so hard and stuff. All for a great laugh.
All for comedy.
For comedy.
Now, you were saying in your lecture that you used to do that at the comedy clubs. And you would get wrestling people. So you had kind of had that experience, I guess, from before. So it was no big deal.
Yeah. Well, what's happening is I'm getting a lot older. My bones don't heal as fast as they used to.
Yeah. But you actually had broken ribs.
Yes, I did.
Now, how do you get better from a broken rib?
I mean, yeah, you can't. I mean, you just got to wait. It just takes time.
I've you actually can't manage them up.
No,
anything, yeah?
I actually broke two ribs here that day because when I went to jump, Roger, I was going to jump like onto the ground, and Roger got out of the way, moved, and his chair fell over in front. So instead of me landing on the ground, I landed on his chair, and it cracked two ribs. But also, when I was in San Diego, I was going to do a pitfall. They had a big stage for the IBM. Yeah. So I set it up where somebody was going to come up. I said, I'm the MC. They were going to take my picture with a flash photographer. I was going to say, I'm in charge. We can do what we want. Yeah. I know that everybody's dying to take a picture of me. Mm-hmm. Feel free. It doesn't bother me. And I had, I think it was Rachel Wild at that time. She came up to take a picture, and then I would be blinded, and I was going to fall in the pit.
Yeah.
And there was actually a mattress already in there.
Yeah.
So that's what made me think of it. But I slipped. Went right down on the side of the stage, flipped over, and landed in the mattress, and cracked another rib on that. And I had to do the straitjacket later that show, and it was like the worst pain I ever did. But Carl Ballantyne came up to me afterwards and said that was one of the best pitfalls he's ever seen. Then he started telling me about all these guys being hurt, and I didn't have the guts to ever tell him that it was an accident.
Oh, yeah, I do that all the time.
Yeah, I go, I really worked on that, Carl.
That's right. One of my signature things. Well, you tend to be kind of accident prone because.
Yes, I am. That is definitely true.
A few years ago that you came here like in a wheelchair, and that wasn't enough to stop you from coming.
No. I got ran over by a golf cart, kind of just like the Louisville basketball player, except I had both of my bones sticking out of my knee.
Wow.
Leg. And that's been 3 years now, and believe it or not, I just had a surgery in February, and I've got two more to go, and what an ordeal. All that
stuff. Is it bothering you? I mean, you're not limping or anything?
Well, I do limp. By the end of the day, I'll be limping. Yeah, I have a lot of leg pain and stuff like that. I'm going to have my knees replaced. But again, that's part of being old.
Yeah.
It makes it hard on the, traveling is really, I need to retire or go work for Mac all the time.
Well, yeah, and so when you are carrying stuff, are you finding that you're starting to pack a lot lighter then?
Yeah, you know what? No. I've always been good. Scott, I carry three bags when I travel. A metal AT case that weighs about 49.5 pounds. Mm-hmm. And then I've got a regular suitcase with, for some dumb reason, I'm doing the Kevin James bowling ball in my real act. Or why anybody would do that, but it's a great trick.
Yeah, it is.
And for the lay people, no matter what you do.
Right.
But you have to carry that thing. So I got that in another bag with my clothes, and then I have to carry the gumball machine on as a carry-on. And my wife keeps telling me, you know, you got to go to mentalism. You got to do something.
Yeah, just a clipboard or something. Yes, exactly. Comedy mentalism. I think I can see that in your
future.
That's
my next step.
I predict that, yes. Well, you know, I was thinking about the gumball machine, trying to pack that lighter. If instead of using real gumballs in there, if you had something that was going to be a little bit lighter or pictures.
Yeah. It's not so much. Believe it or not, it's not that heavy. It's just awkward. And just have to
carry.
It's just a bag.
Hey, you mentioned working for Matt King, that you've been out to Vegas. That is it just whenever that he has other private engagements? And
when he has more money to make than he does. No, yeah. Mac's really good, and he uses several other guys. I'm not the only guy that really subbed for him.
Yeah.
But he's been very kind to me and allowed me to be able to do that. And it's a lot of fun. And
you sub the whole act, or you just...
You sub the whole week.
Okay.
And you do...
So people buy a ticket thinking to see Matt King, and then it's like, what?
It's the greatest thing ever. basically, they do tell you. They have a sign.
Yeah.
But I would say more than half the audience have already bought their tickets.
Yeah.
Online
before they come to Vegas.
So they don't ever go up to the ticket box and not see that you're there.
Sure.
And so every night you're sitting there, and Mac, a lot of times he makes the introduction for you on a recording, saying, I'm not here today. And the entire audience goes, oh. It's a great feeling.
Yeah.
In the beginning, it really intimidated me. It's kind of like, oh gosh, I had to go. But I have I have a very good opening, and I handle that really well. I let them know. I do actually I do a trick that doesn't work. And
always a good opener.
Yeah. I cut the rope in half and go to put it together. And all I go, I don't know how that works. That Mike King can do this trick. Y'all got screwed. And and also I know where the comps are. You know.
Yeah.
And so I'll go, I don't understand why he's not here, sir. How much you pay for that ticket? And he'll say, no, I'm paying nothing. I go, well, maybe that's why he's not here.
Yeah.
Don't blame me. Blame this guy. And but what that does, everybody, it kind of sets my character, but it also lets them know that I know that you know.
Mm-hmm.
That Mike's not here, and we're going to try to get through this. And
yeah.
But the cool part is when the show's over, I mean, a good part of the audience people, they all want to talk to you to say that they're glad he's not there. I mean, you know.
They got to see you.
Yeah, so that just means I made the connection with them, that somehow that during the show they like me, and they just want me to know that it was a good day, even though Mike was there. But every once in a while I do get a guy that'll come up here. I've been here 5 times with his pictures of Mike, and to get him to sign it, and every time I come, somebody's not, but he's there a lot, but and it's just his kindness allowing me, because I have to come all the way from Nashville. There's guys right there in that town that can do a great job, and they do it. But
who are the other guys?
I know he used Danny Daniels a lot. He uses Fielding West. There's a couple of guys that he uses, and I'm sure there's more than I'm not naming now. But
you were saying also that you had worked in Las Vegas with Lance and with Matt, kind of in the...
No, it was just one time.
Oh.
I got... Mine wasn't, like, hired by... I was just doing a corporate thing in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but I was in this hotel.
You weren't in a show.
You know, I wasn't in a big show at that time. It was just a show on the strip. But I was just thinking, I'm in this hotel.
That's cool.
Mike was right next door.
Yeah.
And Lance was across the street from us. And we all grew up within less than, you know, maybe 10 miles of each other.
And you said you went to school...
with Lance.
Yeah. Like a year older or something?
I think I'm 2 years older than Lance.
So he's pretty old, too, then.
He's an old man. No, but he quit. He figured it out. Good for Lance.
I bet he didn't have any broken ribs.
No, I don't think
legs.
He's got somebody
arthritis.
Else. He has that looking like that falls.
Well, you know, when he had done that one television show and he was doing an escape from a roller coaster, he said, I don't know what I was thinking. I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
That was on tape.
That's right. That's right. He did get hurt on that.
Oh, he did.
Hit his foot.
Yeah.
Bless his heart. Yeah.
That's right, because it just kind of clipped him at the end, right?
The
roller coaster ran by. Now, how far in advance did you know that you were going to be the guest of honor here?
Obi retired, supposedly.
Yeah.
We can't get rid of him, but he's retired.
You're still looking for a replacement.
Yeah. So please, somebody out there, take this.
That's right. This is a plea for someone to take a whistle from him, please.
But so literally what he decided he wanted before he left, I mean, because they never announced who the person was until the end of this one.
Right.
And that was kind of the fun of this convention,
the
trying
surprise.
To figure out who
who's
it was.
Who's going to be.
But Obi wanted to make sure he got... you know, take something. I don't know if he's afraid of his health or whatever, but he wanted to list the five guys. So yeah. 5 years ago, he put out a list, and instead of that, at the end, instead of announcing one, he announced five guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the middle of all of that. I mean, but literally, I had no idea. And, you know, and I'm one of these guys that think there's a million people that ought to be here instead of me. He just appreciated the work I do here at 4F and
yeah.
that how I come here literally without an act, which we've talked about, and you
right.
just do it. But what's so great now is Rick Merrill, the guy
yeah.
I work with.
Yeah.
I am done. I'm in my room relaxed, and I went to bed, and Rick is pacing the floor, and he's sick, and he's running his, or he's writing everything down.
Yeah.
It's so great to watch.
I'm not joining you on this trip.
Yeah, that's right. He's asking me, and I go, yeah, it might be funny. I'm not going to help you.
Could be. Speaking of which, I thought that was really hilarious that the Montreal Trio did last night.
Oh, what a fantastic.
Explain a little bit of that. Talk.
Yeah, you know, yeah, Scott, I wish somehow we can let them know. But we've been talking for a while, and I was always bugging them saying, because when I first came, they were the first guys I saw that kind of was doing something just for the special guest
yeah.
guy. They did that shuffle the deck thing that they used to do.
That's
with
right.
Dunshaw. So I thought, I as soon as I found out, I said, look, you got to do something special for me then. Just in the same, just kind of kidding around with
yeah.
them. And the guys literally said that they had 3-4 years, and they let it go. They did this, what we saw, what we're trying to explain 2 weeks ago, within 2.5 weeks, they come up with this. And what it was, it looked like a magic show in space to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it looked like they were in outer
floating,
space.
Yeah.
But what it was they put a big black mat, a very large mat,
big tarp
on the floor. They had about a 20-foot ladder.
20-foot ladder with a camera.
On top,
yeah,
filming down.
Mm-hmm.
And they were laying on the floor.
Yeah.
So they created effects with, like, the balls were rising and they were just rolling it across.
Yeah, because it looked like it was slowly floating, you know, or something.
It was unbelievable. They
yeah.
did Dancing King.
Yeah.
And
did a levitation in Azra.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
And the way they kind of walked on, looked like they're walking on stage, but they're kind of yeah. rolling on the floor. But it is hard to explain.
Yeah.
But you can imagine if you were laying on the floor and then trying to look like it, you're walking with the camera being
yeah.
above you.
I mean, guys,
down.
I'm sure this will be on YouTube somewhere. You really need to look that up.
I hope so.
Because it's going to be great. They had the little touch of they did the broom suspension, and then when he was done, he lifted him back up to unhook him
oh,
from
yeah.
the device.
Yeah, yeah. They should have gone click. Yeah.
It's the little things that you
That's
go,
right.
oh, that
yeah.
is genius.
It is.
Yeah,
yeah.
those
then,
guys are great.
And so actually, I think it's tonight when they're going to be giving you the award as far as like the pins or the buttons, you know, that Marv always makes every
yeah,
year
yeah.
and everything. And you know, years past, they used to have a roast that they would do for people. Now,
right.
again, you've only been coming for about 14 years, but the first one I came to was like 1984, and it was with Rick Johnson, and then it was, you know, it had been Jay Marshall was the roast master, and it was quite blue. There were no women here, and it was before political correctness, and they had some pretty wild things. You know, then it tamed, you know, itself, you know, quite a bit. And so, and with Howie Schwartzman not being here this year, you know, so we're not getting a lot of rude jokes still
it.
Anymore. So, are you kind of braced for the worst tonight?
The thing, Scott, you know, you've been here and seen what I've done. I deserve anything I get. So I can't complain
yeah.
To anybody that gets me because I've done it. I've done my share of roasting kind of the acts that mm-hmm. have been here. But I hope to, I always hear guys that say it's kind of a pride thing if they can get in our act, if they can do something,
yeah.
or if they can make Rick and Steve's act, it's like, all right, we're there.
Yeah. Well, and what you have done in the past that you and Rick are, you know, working on different ideas that I guess you kind of see what's been happening. People have been lecturing on
right.
whatever, and so you kind of riff on that a little bit and try
yeah.
to do a satirical look back over the week.
Yeah. This time, just like one joke of the week I wrote this time is the first three guys, the first lecturers were all foreign Japanese guys,
yeah.
and Korean
Asians,
guy,
yeah.
Asian, and I'm going to come out and go, I'm not going to appreciate Obi getting three guys to come and lecture and make fun of my speech the whole time. Rick's going to go, you know they were foreign, don't you? They were from Japan. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that'd be funny. Well, and of course, in this time that you're not writing any stuff, so Rick is.
Yeah. So you just don't know how great that is, Scott. The setback, because I've never. Even when I got here, I started on Friday. My first time here was Friday night shows, and then I went. Then quickly I got onto the Saturday night show. Then they show you're nervous the entire time, yeah. Watching everybody, hoping things. And then when I got to start doing the coming up at the end, you have to write your material, and then everybody takes your material because there's a lot of good guys there.
Yeah,
so you have to rewrite. So you spend your whole time up in your room, nervous at what's going to be funny, and hope nobody takes your jokes. And now it's not me; it's Rick. And he's walking around in circles up in the room as we speak. He's sick to his stomach because he don't have nobody to fall on if it's bad.
Well, years ago, of course, it used to be that Dan Garrett and Gene Anderson, would do the Great Garnack.
Yes.
Have all their lines. And all weekend long when I was at breakfast or dinner, they were always, working on new stuff.
There,
up to the last minute, trying to make it even more topical.
That's right.
With some funny things. So I think that is great wit, that you guys are showing, by being able to apply that and writing it, kind of on the fly like that. But speaking of comedy, that your son is a comedian.
Right.
And they showed a clip of him during your lecture, then as well on Conan O'Brien. Recently,
yeah, it was really. This is my son was so kind, and I mean, of course, he has to be our hitting. But he
break his
rib. Right now, bless his heart, Nate. My original idea at first, I thought, well, maybe I'll fly him out here and let him open for me.
Oh, here. For Becker.
Yeah, and then, but he's fine. He's gone a lot too, and then I said, I there was a couple jokes I really wanted him to tell. That I thought fit in for magicians and what we do and stuff. And so I asked him, I said, can you just record yourself doing it at a club or something like that? And it just so happened he had a call from Conan, and who invited him on the show. And he said, well, he goes, I'll just do it on Conan for you. So, I mean, how great was that?
Wow.
And so they you can go on Conan O'Brien's TeamCoco.com website. You can look him up. I think he's been on it 3 times. Just look up the last one. It was about 2 weeks ago. And the jokes are not in order, but he's still the great. And they're about he says something about he's going to quit comedy because, but the hard thing about quitting comedy is quit something that nobody knows what you do.
And who do you tell?
Yeah, then he goes, what am I going to do? Call Cosme and say I'm out of here. And I always thought, I go, Nick, I need to use that in magic. We're going to quit. I'm calling Copperfield tomorrow and telling him, hey, David, I'm getting out. It's not like nobody knows. But so he did that, and he does a part, he's got a new album, CD out, and it's called Yelled At by a Clown. And he goes, have you ever been yelled at by a clown? I have. Yeah, it's very confusing with a big smile on their face and they're screaming. You don't know what's going on. And it's great. The album is doing really well, and he's doing well, so he's all that. He's going to be on Jimmy Fallon in a week from now. So just, I'm not sure.
Sometime
the exact
early
day.
May.
Yeah, so that's happening really soon, too. So he's really kind of hot right now, and good things are happening to him.
Yeah, me and he's got a lot to call on, I guess. Yeah. He's talking about you as a clown, as a kid, a magician and everything.
Yeah, and I think that's why Conan likes him, because so much is he's a storyteller. He don't really just tell jokes after jokes. And Conan was a storyteller. And if you go back and you watch that clip, you can actually see Conan and him talking at the end when the show's going off about Conan saying, I used to do the comedy a lot like what you do. I was a storyteller. And, and I think that's why Conan's been really good to him.
Yeah. So you said that his career's kind of taken off, and he has been doing some other things and working comedy clubs, and you'd said there was...
Through Michael Finney.
Yeah.
We do the thing from Michael Finney with the Wounded Warriors and Golf Outlet, and Michael Finney has been as good as my king, and Michael Finney has helped my family as much as anybody can, and but he gave Nate... he was the first one that gave Nate a chance to come out there and be and playing golf in a golf tournament before no one knew who he was. And the cool part about that was, I got to do a show with my son.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we actually got to. Yeah, And he got to go on first, and then I followed him, and it was just like, it was awesome to be able to share a stage. But we've met a lot of good people. Michael introduced Nate to Bill Invall, and we met him a couple years ago, and Bill just flew a private jet to pick up my son, and
wow.
And for a couple of days they kind of hung out and did mm-hmm. They did two or three shows together.
Comedy clubs or something?
No, they were all benefits.
Oh, okay, sure.
They were Bill's benefits that he does mm-hmm. in Texas. And so they had a great time, and Bill and him, my son, got along really well. And
sure.
They really he said he came out and sat in front and watched his set. So, I mean, that's like the,
sure.
the instead of staying in the green room. The first I worked with him, and he never came out of the green room. So.
Yeah, so
yeah. At least you got him out of the green room to yeah. hear that and stuff. But you can go on iTunes and download his CD and get that. Yelled at by a clown, Nate Bargatze. It'd be great. He needs the money.
And well, speaking of which, yeah, then your other son is a missionary.
Yeah, so I have two children. I got a missionary and two boys, a missionary and a comedian. So there's two of them that'll never make a dime. And it's falling right in the dad's footsteps.
Unless he sells those CDs and you start
that's
selling
right.
some of your new DVDs.
That's
also,
right.
Those SpongeBalls.
That's, yeah.
And those new wallets.
Yeah. You know, we do what we got to do. There's little upswings every once in a while.
Yeah.
But you know what? They are both doing what they love. And
sure.
there's nothing better than that.
Following the dream.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean,
yeah.
It's not all about success. It's doing what you like every day. And
sure.
being able to at least support your family. My son just had a little girl because he's running out of material. So he needed some new stuff. So they decided to have a child just so
you can talk
just
about
for
them.
The material.
Just material. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a lot of new stuff out on that.
Well, speaking of which, in long term and, talking about carrying equipment and all that, where do you see yourself in like in 5 or 10 years?
Yeah, in a home somewhere, probably.
Sitting by the window.
By the elevator, getting people off, taking cards.
Get
stuff.
Off my lawn.
I'm hoping to get my knees done and maybe get some new stuff. But, that's a tough one right there, just to try to go. I'm not really sure. Maybe Mac will bring me out there and I can just...
Maybe you can retire early, kind of like
yeah.
did, and then you can take a short
I can take a day every other day or something. They'll let me work and
yeah.
and do it.
Be great, I think. It seems to me one of the best gigs in which that he would just have a day job, and then he's finished at night. He's got Sunday,
right.
Mondays off. He can spend with the family, or he can take off occasionally and do something professionally and have you or Dana Daniels or somebody come in and do fill in for
yeah.
him. So it's kind of I would think great to have a situation where you can have a house and enjoy the house at night, where you can go back to it.
Yeah, I think
unique situation.
His show's at 1 o'clock, and one time he told me, he actually didn't leave the house until 12:30.
Wow.
He doesn't do that often,
yeah.
but he could actually do that, get there in a half hour and go. But he plays his warm-up music, and I've been in there and talking to him, and he's not even dressed, and they've already introduced him, and he's just talking to you, getting dressed. Like,
don't you trick me out over there?
Yeah. He just walks right out there and
yeah.
And kills everybody.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
But it's not as easy. I don't mean this. I'm not trying to say that people to do it. Yeah, but it's because it's every day. And of course, he's off on Sundays and Mondays. But, you don't have the mornings because you can't. What else can you? I mean, you can take your time and get there, but you still have to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I love golf, so you can't go play a round of golf before you go in. You don't have time,
right?
And then when I sub and stuff, I don't have my king dressing room. They don't give me my own dressing room.
Yeah.
So you're sharing it with the comics in the comedy club or whatever. Or you have to take all your stuff, pack it up, back to your room, or do whatever you can.
Yeah.
And so you're tired. And it's 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. The day goes by, and so you can't go play golf.
Yeah.
You can't do anything. I mean, you can go out for a show that night.
That's usually what I do, is go for a show
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And the dinner thing, that's a good one, because this last time, after all the times that whatever I've done for him, one of the comics said, who knew my son, invited me to, he said, why don't we go get something to eat? He took off, and I was just following him. I didn't know which restaurant we were going to go to. And we ended up in a commissary where you get to eat for free, and no one had ever told me that. After the show, I'd go buy. I was paying money for the same food he was eating free every day.
I think it would have been something they would have told you. Say,
yeah.
Oh, by the way, you get free meals.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's awesome and stuff. Now, and I don't even think I have to be working for Mac. I know where the commissary is. No one
really,
no one asked me any questions. I'm just going to go.
Remember me? Yeah. I filled in eventually.
I worked 6 months ago.
I recognize you. You're that bum.
Yeah.
With the big shoes and the funny nose. Yeah, from years ago. Yeah. Well, that's great. Again, long overdue, I think, for you to be the guest of honor, and that's super. Next year is going to be
Sean
Farquhar, and that's Oscar Munoz.
Oscar's
been kind of giving you a little bit of a hard time. It seemed like when he was MC, it was some gentle chiding.
I deserve it. I quickly reminded him that his year's coming up.
Yeah, sorry.
And I will be there.
Get him back in spades. Or give him a spade to do some
that's
yard
right.
work.
Well, Scott, why use that? I need to write that down.
Yeah, well, no, you don't have to worry about writing down anything. Like you said, Rick is the one that's under
pressure
today.
That's right. So just step back and relax. And
Rick Merrill ought to be a guest, you know, here sometime. I wouldn't be surprised to see
him. Yeah, I won't be either.
Up,
yeah, it should be.
It's a long list.
My good friend Bob Sheets, I was talking with him last week, and it's like, how's Bob not been the guest of honor yet?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a bar magician and all that kind of stuff. And so, Bob, you should be here. There's no doubt in my place, at least.
Yeah. Well, not in your place, but everybody's got their own styles and everything. And certainly his is different. And I think he would be worthwhile, too. You know, a lot of these guys who have been selected are those that not necessarily have been frequent attendees. For an example, I think when Juan Tamariz is here, he's been here once or twice. You know,
right.
Paul Daniels, a couple of these are guys who have been guests of honor. So it's not like that they're calling from among us who are regular attendees for, you know, decades or whatever. But there are people who are within the community that they recognize, you know, that should be honored, you know, particularly in close up. And Bob, I think, would be just Doc Eason.
Yes, yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of guys you can, you know, kind of go out, don't want to start naming names because. Hey, you didn't name me. I'm the greatest magician here ever lived over here. So, you're gonna be having a grandfather.
Yes.
Your first one?
Nope, I have five, Scott.
Okay.
I'm an old man. You're forgetting
that. Right.
I'm 57 years old.
Yeah,
I have my Nate just had a daughter for the material.
Yeah.
And then my missionary son, he has three little girls. Cause, and Uganda, I guess there's not much else to do over there, but have
no
children.
TV.
So, bless his heart. He has three great little girls. And
you see him like on Skype?
Yeah,
pretty, you know.
I see Skype a lot, but they are actually home right now.
Oh.
His wife is she's getting her license to be a midwife.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've had them almost a year, and maybe we got them another half year more back at home. So my wife loves that. So we got three little girls there, and they're the sweetest things in the world.
Yeah.
And my daughter has a little boy who's 100% boy and just like wears us out and
kind of
little Caleb and stuff. Caleb, he started kindergarten this year, and he's definitely going to be the comic. He went to school and told them all that his papa would do a free magic show for him. And then he came home, and I asked him, "What did he learn anything?" He said, "I can spell red." I go, "Really? Well, how do you do it?" And he said, "Like he goes, red." He's M72. And I looked at him. I mean, he goes, "Is that right?" I said, "No." He goes, "Oh, I was going to blow your socks off, Papa." I go, "He's got it."
Yeah.
But I actually did a trick. And I did the clatter box for his group
because
I had to do the free show.
Yeah,
and so
you were committed after kindergarten kid promises.
Yeah. So I told in the clatter box I talk about that how valuable that box is, and I say that when magicians die, they don't just leave the tricks to their family if nobody in the family does magic.
Yeah.
I said so. Sometimes they sell it to other magicians, so that's why I say it's a secret.
Mm-hmm.
And I said my children doesn't do magic, so I would have to sell my magic or give it away. Then I just kind of mentioned, well, unless Caleb decides to do magic, then he'll get all my magic.
Yeah.
Well, he has never forgotten that.
And, he's expecting
Yeah, literally every time he comes, I have a magic room. My wife said he'll just go down there. He said, "This is all my stuff." Papa said, he's just looking at me, "How's your health doing? Because I'm getting this really soon." And he just literally goes down there and plays with it. He thinks it's his.
Yeah, it's my stuff, That's funny. Well, Stephen, I know it's going to be about lunchtime over there, and I appreciate your time very much. Thank you again for being the guest of honor and being who you are.
Well, awesome. Thanks, Scott.
And entertaining so many people. Well, thank you very much. And you're great for the magic world. We're richer because of you. Thanks very much. That was Stephen Bregazzi, Scott Wells, for themagicwordpodcast.com. Scotty out. And so here we are after noon, and before we begin our first afternoon show after the lecture we had, just talked with Steve Bergazzi, and now I've got Chris Hannibal.
Hey guys.
Hannibal.
Yeah, either way.
We were talking about just having a one name, kind of like Cher, you know.
Cher, Madonna.
There
exactly.
You go.
People think
exactly.
of Madonna when they think of me.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'd rather be looking at Madonna.
Exactly.
Anybody.
Or Sting or Prince, anybody but this guy.
And so we were just talking about the convention, and you were saying that so far this is like the fourth day here, and so how do you enjoy it? What are you thinking? So
really, this year, really refreshing lectures, some really interesting thinking, some, you know, the term outside the box is overused, but some really original, refreshing thought put behind what I've seen.
I agree with you. It's not necessarily just the technique, which is really great, like the guy from South Korea that talked about there today. I hadn't even thought about it. I'm fooled the pants off me last night and then again today.
Right.
But after he explained, it's like, I don't think I'm going to be doing it. I mean, it was really some knuckle-busting, but he added some easy things in there. But then with Danny Ortiz yesterday and talking about some of the psychological subtleties that he was using. It
precisely.
Was,
yeah. They've got these three, those Woody and Danny and the gentleman whose name I can't pronounce.
The guy we just had?
Yeah, the South Korean.
Zeki or Zeki or something.
Exactly,
like,
but I can't say that. Yeah.
Okay.
Not a lot of stuff that I would use, but some really refreshing thought, some zest for their craft.
You know,
that's amazing.
It inspires us to be creative ourselves.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly
you see
right.
someone else. I think that's the best part of the advantage, I think, of being at this convention, that you're around other creative people.
Right.
And so you tend to think, well, I got to ramp up my creative
thought. Well, if you're getting that, it's not so much I want to be that guy.
Yeah, or do that stuff.
Yeah. But I can re-examine my own work and boost it from that perspective. Inspiring is
right.
the word.
Right. Yeah. Now, I just saw you recently on Real Magic, looking at something you were doing with Doc. Wasn't Doc Eason?
Doc Eason.
Were you doing some restaurant work or bar magic or something?
Bar magic. It was for his Rocky Mountain convention. Talking about bar magic. He's got a regular series on Real Magic.
Yeah.
And I was part of the first one, just talking about how to get the work.
I was hoping you're going to be a regular. So you're not going to be a regular.
It was on a whim. Honestly, they woke me up at like 7:30 in the morning and said, "We just like to have somebody for Doc to bounce ideas, and we know you're a bar guy.
Yeah.
So can you come down and we'll talk some stuff over?" So it was really just an off-the-cuff kind of thing. I'd love to do a regular thing. If anybody out there is listening and would want to use Hannibal for a regular thing, yeah. But it was a fun conversation, and got some good ideas out.
Where are you working regularly on as a bar guy?
At the moment, I'm not. Most of my work right now is corporate and private events.
Mm-hmm. In and around where?
In and around the United States.
Okay.
I'm all over the country right now. My home base is Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I'm working the Hickory Tavern on a semi-regular, but when I'm in town, semi-regular basis, I do the bar work there to keep my chops up and to keep, showcasing and like that for regular.
Do you work in a lot of new material, or you just kind of hone your existing stuff?
I bring in new ideas, but there, the act is the act.
Sure.
And things come in and go out or get honed and sharpened as it goes down the road, Sometimes things phase in and phase out. I'll try a new idea, try a different middle or a different ending, and if it's great, it stays in. It keep me interested.
How do you exercise your creative muscle?
I work.
You work out, obviously.
I don't work out so much as I work. No, I work out a lot of the creative stuff at the bar, or I will go out on the street. If I've got an idea, I want to see how people react to it, I'll just go out on the street.
Street magic, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just set up my little table and try my new idea for a couple of hours, again and again and again, to see how different reactions
And you don't have any problem with getting out because you used to do street magic before?
I don't have any problem at all. Love it.
Okay. Yeah. I know some people's kind of like, I don't know, it's not for me.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. You want honest reaction? If you want a real honest reaction to what you're doing, you absolutely will. You'll know right away.
Yeah, if they're going to hang around and watch it, you got it. But if
they're
going to say, whatever, and then move on.
Even in a restaurant and a bar, they're kind of trapped. If they want their beer, if they want their food to at their table, they can ask you to leave if you're really mad. But most people are polite and let you at least finish out what you're doing. On the street, they will walk away.
Yeah.
I got a meeting, I got a thing, and they're gone.
Yeah.
So the street will tell you exactly,
right,
exactly the truth.
Yeah, I was working one time. It was a horrible situation from during lunchtime. You know, like, well, actually, mm-hmm. it's like 11:30 to 1 o'clock or 1:30 or something. And I'm supposed to be doing a three-card Monte on the corner downtown Houston for a bank.
Sure.
You know, and first of all, like the bank, it seemed kind of strange that they were trying to do a three-card Monte,
right,
you know, scam. And they gave us their cards to use.
Right.
And it's like, okay, you want to trust this bank? That was, but anyhow, they had the cards made up. That's what they were doing. But then
right.
trying to stop someone who is between, you know,
right.
you know, work and lunch.
Yeah.
I got to hurry. It's like, hey, yeah, that's great. And so I'm by this stoplight. So I'm thinking I got to do this fast while before the light changes.
Right,
from,
right across
from
the
walk.
Street. Yeah. It's true.
So that's a different situation, I would think, you know, where you're trying to get somebody. I'm sure they'd like to watch if they had, at least
sure.
I'd like to think that they would have liked
yeah.
to watch. But, you know, when you do this, do you do it like in a high tourist area, just at a shopping mall or in front of a...
I go uptown in my hometown, Charlotte,
mm-hmm.
and there's a great corner where there's a Ritz-Carlton on one side and a like an outdoor, it's not quite a shopping mall, but it's a shopping center,
mm-hmm.
and where there are bars and restaurants and movie theaters all in an outdoor venue. So a lot of people cross the street from the Ritz-Carlton coming over to this place, and it's perfect.
Yeah.
Because they're going out for dinner. They're going out for their evening. And they'll stop and watch if the show's...
Have a little bit of entertainment before
right.
they have something
exactly.
to talk
and
about as
stop
well.
Stop on the way back. You
sure.
know? We saw it on the way and show me something new. You know, what do you got now?
And some of those people also are potential clients because they're actually
oh, yes.
they're coming in for a business meeting.
If they're at the Ritz-Carlton, they're not... Yeah. They're there for
yeah.
a reason.
They've usually got a little bit of cash in their pockets
exactly
then, too.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So I am showcasing the whole time.
Yeah. So what is your long-term plan? What are you thinking about 5 or 10 years from now? I mean, what's in the cards for Hannibal?
Oh, man. Hannibal... continue doing what I do and continue pursuing what I love.
Mm-hmm.
Keep working.
Working with an agent or doing it all on your own?
No, it's me.
Yep.
It's all me.
Mm-hmm. Stand-up comedy?
I've done
magic.
That.
I'm comedy magic. I mean, say like a corporate type of thing.
Yeah, it's more, you know, these days it's more of a one-man show. There's
sure.
there's comedy, but there's also drama, and there's some pathos and some storytelling that goes along with it. Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I may release that sometime just as a book form.
Interesting.
I've thought about doing it that way.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that wants to focus in on the magic community,
mm-hmm.
and I have it in my mind to go for FISM in 2015. And see
admirable
where that
goal.
And see where that leads me.
In which division?
Parlor and close-up.
Okay, two different divisions.
And one will be a comedy act, the Pringles act that you've seen.
Yes, I have.
And the other one will be the it's called Silver Memories. It's the Cylinder and Coin,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
I did last year.
Yeah.
Which is more dramatic and heartfelt than,
yes.
than funny.
Yeah.
So two different styles, two different platforms, so
yeah,
to speak,
yeah.
and see what happens.
Now, have you entered any contests so far
in the past,
conventions?
Yeah, I was the first recipient of the Obie Award. I was the very first People's Choice Award at the IBM in 2000. I was the first winner of that.
Mm-hmm.
Took second place in the overall contest to Stephen Bargatze.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he won he won first place in the IBM, and I came in second to him.
Yeah.
And we both beat Sean Farquhar
that
same year.
So you should be a guest of honor sometime coming up soon, since those guys have...
If anyone's listening and wants to, yeah.
Exactly.
I wouldn't mind that at all. I don't know that I have that big a name in the community to be a host, but
this is your what number for this?
Fifth year.
Okay.
Fifth or sixth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to remember. They blur sometimes.
They do sometimes. You know that.
Sometimes.
I wouldn't say that they're uneven, but you know it's like with any convention. I think some are better than others. So you know, how would you rate this one?
This is in the top.
I think so.
It
too.
Really is in
a lot
the
of guys
ones
that
I've been
that.
To. It
yeah.
has. It's really. It's
good diversity.
It really was real good diversity. Real good energy.
Yes.
Real good. This is my English. and like I said before, the zest from the performers, the enthusiasm from the lecturers and the performers has been top-notch.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely top-notch.
Yeah. And now, the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word,
mm-hmm.
podcast.com. So what is your magic word? Not necessarily something
Hannibal.
You would use. Hannibal.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's good. You live by that.
I do. Is it?
You live it, eat and breathe
it. I do. When I come across a new idea or a new effect or yeah. whatever, that's the first criteria. Is it Hannibal?
You Hannibalize it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Cylinder and Coins.
Yeah. That was yours. That was
fully
very unique.
Hannibalized.
I remember that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That's the first criteria. That's the magic word.
I like it. Love it. Very good.
Thanks
very much, Chris.
You're
appreciate
very
it a lot.
Thanks.
And for the magic word, Scotty out. Well, it is Saturday evening, and we're just before the final show of the convention. And we're sitting out just for our annual Scotch and Cigars evening and missing Bob Rees, but I've got Jason Giuliano, who also joined us every year then, too. Hey, Jason.
How's it going?
Doing very good, thank you. This is a good cigar you got over here. What is this again? What's this called?
These are my father's cigars.
Your dad's, your father's cigars?
No. They're, yeah, that's what they're called.
Okay. And so, Bob Rees isn't here. I understand that he's kind of under the weather. He's got bad back problems and just not able to. He's having some difficulty, I think, getting around a little bit last year. And so, similarly, this year was unable to make it. He kind of came in last couple of years for just, you know, one day. You know, Howie Schwartzman also wasn't able to make it. A few other guys that kind of were missing who are not here that. It's regrettable, but the convention, I think, has been going pretty good. Got a, but what have you been thinking so far then, Jason?
I happened to join late this year. I was traveling up until Friday and didn't make it here for the evening show. I thought last night's Friday evening show was one of the best I've seen probably in the past 7 to 10 years easily. Some of the afternoon shows have left a little bit to be desired.
Yeah.
Today.
Well, to begin with, you know, that's kind of is to be expected. I think when you have one that's going to be the first timer show, you know, that's going basically for the for their bachelor's, you know, show. Then also that that they, so. You're going to be uneven, I guess. It'd be it, kind.
uneven is very kind. Yes, it is.
But what was it that stuck out last night, then, from the evening show?
Magic is more than just tricks. And in so many magicians think it's about the trick they do when this is theater. And at the end of the day, and the performance should be about theater. And I think a lot of young performers nowadays, and frankly, even some old-time veterans, think it's about the trick. Mm-hmm. And it's not about the trick, it's about the performance. And throughout the entire show last night, they got it. They got that it was about theater and not just trick, trick, trick.
You know, that was something that someone had mentioned to me, I think this morning, that it seemed to be, if there is some sort of a theme this year, perhaps it has to do with drama, because that several of the effects this year have been just that. I mean, they have been little theatrical effects. I mean, theatrical vignettes, if you would, you know, part of a almost a play, almost. You know what I mean? So it's mm-hmm. It has been more dramatic. But Roland, I want to talk with you then also. let me pronounce your last name correctly. Let me look at your tag just a second. Meister, is it actually pronounced Meister?
That's
is that
correct,
right? Okay,
yes.
Roland Meister. And where are you from, Roland?
Switzerland.
Switzerland. And how many people from Switzerland came here this year?
Just one.
You're the only one?
Yes.
I thought there was another guy who used to, an older fellow. Maybe he no longer calls Switzerland his home.
There is Ron Wall, who was he's originally Swiss.
Yeah.
And there is Roger Bernheim.
Swiss. Roger, that's the guy I was thinking of. He lives in England now?
Or I don't is know. He? I think he lives in the States.
Oh, he is in the States? Okay.
Yes.
And you've been coming for a number of years, and you've been taking some photos, I know, and everything. Are you like one of the official photographers, kind of?
I try to step into those heavy footsteps now, yeah.
Yeah. So when you're looking through the camera lens, sometimes you're not able to see or catch everything. You're trying to catch just the right moment. Do you feel like you got some good shots here this year?
I hope so, yes.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing about digital cameras, you know right away, I think, you know.
That's the big thing. You take about 2,000 pictures, and then you have to edit and to select, and
yeah.
That's the big thing about it.
Right. Do you get over to the States very often, or mainly just for this each year?
Just for this region.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Then you head back over home.
Yeah.
What do you do mainly over there?
At the moment, I'm starting studying in the fall. Mm-hmm. I was a UN military observer last year, mm-hmm. and I start in security policy and international politics.
Okay.
I want to learn Arab.
Gonna do what? Learn Arab?
Yes.
Wow, interesting. How does any of that tie into magic?
Say again?
How does that tie into magic? I guess you have to keep
the
secrets.
Arabian Nights,
yeah,
you know?
Okay, sure.
It ties in because it financially supports his ability to do magic.
There you go. Okay.
There is a lot of money in the Middle East. It's only very few people who can afford this, but the people who can afford this can afford to spend a lot of money.
Sure. Yeah, I know. I got a friend out of Dallas, Jarvis, Roland Jarvis, that goes over and works a lot, does magic shows over there. He was in the military, and I think he had retired from that to do magic full-time and does a lot of stuff for the Emirates over in that area. So what do you think of this year's convention?
Yeah, so far, so good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to see the evening show.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the best show, I think. Well, we had some great shows, though, I'm always looking forward to the evening show, to the last show, with a tribute to the guest of honor. And,
going to be having that shortly. What stands out in your mind? Also, Jason, what stands out in your mind as being something that was kind of memorable?
Oh, there were many acts. But through the camera lens, it's sometimes very hard, as you mentioned before, it's sometimes very hard to see what the effects are, because you're always watching for the good takes and for the good moments.
Right.
I appreciate the performers who are steady and don't have an open mouth all the time.
or dance all around the stage or whatever and also frenetic. Jason, anybody that... What particularly stands out of a person or an act or something?
I remember last night being very, very fooled a couple times. And that's always nice. Coming to a convention where at least two or three times you are legitimately fooled. Not, I could guess at a method, nothing. Just completely 100% stumped. And there were a couple times last night where that happened, where just absolutely positively blown away.
Well, that last guy from South Korea, Zeki, fooled me. Everything that he did. He lectured, he fooled me, and then he showed how it's done. It's like, wow.
It's still fooled you, even after he lectured about it and explained what was happening.
Yeah.
And then 30 seconds later, he does the trick again and just looked so effortless.
Uh-huh.
He fooled me last night. He was one of the people that fooled me last night. And then the other thing, the major standout from last night was also, again, the theatrical aspect of so many performances.
Right.
That they were well thought out concepts, not just, here's a cool trick, applaud for me.
You know, the trick of the cactus and the balloon, I think, is a commercial effect. But at first, when the guy that was doing that started into his routine, I thought, this sounds kind of corny, but then I started buying into it. It's like, this is really cool. And then towards the end, it's like, that was perfect. I mean, it all made sense, you know, and so I really loved it. So, yeah, they were good presentations. Roland?
What really also stood out for me was Stephen Bogatti's lecture.
Hmm.
When he was talking about people taking tricks from you and then performing.
Right.
And your original effects or your original lines, and somebody was stealing that, but he was performing more often in that country than you. And so you're like the second up, and then you have to fight for your rights.
Right.
And I think that's for me the spirit of 4F. You see something, you ask permission to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that a lot of other people got it that way. And I think that's very important, because original effects are original to the owner. You might ask. You might risk a yes or a no. But that's fair enough.
Yeah, because it actually belongs to somebody else, and you should be getting... It's their babies, you know. You're stealing babies, you know, from them, basically. You know, that's true. You know, the effect by Kerry Pollack that is the rhyming thing. Mine just went blank. Starts at Harold Maud.
The Stan.
Stan and Edith. Kate and Edith.
Yes.
Kate and Edith. I
can think of the character.
That's right.
To Kate and Edith.
I did that, here at the 4F, you know, 1 year. No. And it was, it went over very well. And everybody thought that I was the one that was responsible for actually making it, but I didn't actually make it. And I gave all of the credit, of course, to Kerry Pollack. But the thing was, I later went out and I was working at, Michael Finney's at Finney Bones. This was, of course, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I elected not to do it because it was a comedy club, and I felt like that was his venue. You know, Kerry works comedy clubs, and it wasn't fair. And I later talked with Kerry. He said, I never get out to Phoenix. He said, you could have done it. That would have been fine. I said, well, you know, it was yours, and I didn't feel like that I should be, you know, stepping into your house and doing your material. And he said, well, I appreciate that. But, you know, but that's why I think is important, that you kind of do honor those guys who have come up with the things.
Give them the option to say yes or no. I mean, this is a community. Most people are willing to share and to help to a certain extent, but just simply asking for permission goes a long way, I think, nowadays.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So overall, it's been, I think, you know, pretty good convention. You know, that they're kind of uneven from time to time. Well, there's some that are, you know, uneven that we talked about. That's kind of up and down. Some are more memorable, and this is really good. I also have to say that last night that the Montreal Trio, those three guys,
hilarious.
Well, wasn't that something?
They invented the human card effect several years ago for Fectors, intending to do it one time, and it grew into an act that they not only could do for Magic conventions, but also started doing for lay people with some minor adjustments.
Yeah.
And I suspect, I don't think this will ever play to lay people what they did here. And I hope there's a YouTube video that circles somewhere, because it was absolutely the funniest thing I have seen in a long time.
Very creative.
So creative. And so much thought went into how they were portraying and, in essence, making fun of these otherwise funny magic tricks.
And, you know, I was talking to Stephen Bergazzi this morning about this, and he was saying that quite literally it was true that they did put this together just 2 weeks ago. They just said, okay, we've been talking about it for, you know, 4 years and 2 years, and then it's like 2 weeks. We got to do something.
Got to do something fast.
I wish I would be that creative.
If I had, like, a tenth of their creative minds in my body... Yeah. I'd be light years ahead.
Wow.
They've always been naturally very funny.
Well, when I was talking with Chris Hannibal earlier today, that we were talking about the creative aspect and process, I guess, and that's one of the things here, is watching some of these guys. Like, I'm not going to do what Danny Ortiz does and some of these other guys, or Zeki, that are teaching some of these methods, but I'd like to understand their creative mind to think, okay, well, maybe that I can create also, and kind of get inside their mind a bit to say, yeah, be inspired by them, basically, you know. So I think that's part of what this is all about in this convention. It's not just learning tricks, but it's sharing ideas, as you see out in the lobby and every place else, you know, over here with some really good ideas. Any last thoughts? Anything?
It's been fun being a part of the podcast.
Ah.
My first official podcast guest appearance.
Which is why, that since it's called the Magic Word, .com, magicwordpodcast.com, tell me, what is your magic word? Wouldn't necessarily be like abracadabra or something you would use like in your magic show. Something of philosophy of life, your credo, something like that. Yeah, what do you say, Roland?
Mine is hoodoo, voodoo, make them doo-doo.
that's unique. Hoodoo, voodoo, make you...
I got this line from Jim Gelini, so...
Oh, okay. What do you think?
But I'm allowed to take it.
I'm still thinking of one magic word that sums up... sums up my overall fundamental belief, but if I had to simplify things to one word that's been magical in my life, it would be grateful, especially in the past year and a half.
Yeah, good.
Very grateful.
Very grateful. Well, I'm grateful to you guys. Thank you very much for being a part of this.
Thank you.
And looking forward then to the show here just short momentarily, I guess.
Cheers.
So for now, yep.
Cheers.
Cheers. Scotty out. Well, the convention is over, and I can't say it's really completely over. At least the last show is over here on the fourth day of the 4F, and it was a fun show, and I thought I would corner a couple of ladies over here. So I've got Ellie Shelley and Katarina Painter. Good to see you guys.
It's actually Catalina Absalon.
Absalon.
That's right.
Absalon. I always stick... Absalon. Thank you. So glad to have you guys over here.
Thanks.
Because it's just been the last decade or so, it seems like we've had women who have been coming, you know, to the this. Then you've been here for three times, and you've four?
Three times also.
And have you both have your bachelor's. You just got, I think, is that right?
That's correct.
You got your
PhD.
PhD this time as well. Then. And so I just wanted to ask you the common question that everyone does, you know, that I know that you got involved because your dad had a magic shop.
That's exactly
in Florida.
Right. Yeah, mail order business.
Yep.
Traveled the conventions with him for,
I remember, 14 years.
Yeah,
when you were a little girl. Yeah, exactly. Coming all the things at the dealers and everything. And I used to order my stuff. It was Magic Hat Ranch, I think, wasn't that?
All decked out.
That was it.
There you go.
And is he still doing that?
He is. He's cut back on the mail order, and he's doing just few conventions.
Yeah.
But he's still, you know, inventing stuff all the time. Hey, I found this prop. Like, what do you think? So, it's constant father-daughter, work in progress, love of magic.
Very cool.
awesome.
I think it was kind of interesting, you know, the fact that Steve Bergazzi's son, who is a professional comedian, is drawing on the comedy of his family, you know, his dad and everything like that. Similarly, you're a flight attendant, and so some of the stuff that I've seen you do, like on stage, has been, you know, related to that. Is that how you draw your inspiration? I mean, do you just put a face on that? Or?
Well, so when I was little and I was attending all the lectures,
yeah,
they always said, oh, your work should come from within. So I spent endless hours on a plane. I mean, we all spend like 80% of our lives at a job or some crazy amount. So it just seemed to me like a logical correlation to put the magic and the flying together. They're both passions of mine. So
yeah,
it worked out.
And so it seemed natural also to be an attendant, flight attendant. I mean, just enjoyed it, or how did that come about?
So I got kicked out of France because my visa expired or was going to expire.
You were living in France.
Yes.
Obviously.
And a magician, in fact, suggested, oh, why don't you become a flight attendant? And I was like, yeah, sure. He's like, oh, you'll get to come back to France all the time. But little did we know, like, that's not really how it works. But it just so happened.
Seemed
when
like
I,
a good idea.
When I entered my company, they were desperate for French speakers. So in my particular case, it was like beyond magic. It was like a miracle. And now I spend 90% of my layovers in France with the French magicians.
That's fun. So you speak French?
Oui.
That's about the extent of mine, too. Actually, I speak twice as good. Oui, which means really small. Yeah. Katerina, so you've been doing a lot of college circuit shows and things, but what have you been doing of late?
We have a show at the Hilton in downtown Indianapolis. This is our third full year of doing that. So
wow.
We've actually been off the road for a while.
You have been? Okay.
Yes.
I thought you were kind of doing that still in between. I mean,
No.
So you're going to, like, every weekend or, like, how many nights
week.
A week?
Yep. It's two, sometimes three, so it depends on the schedule.
Yeah.
So three or four shows a week.
In Indianapolis.
Correct.
And how is that promoted? Is that, do you go through the Convention Tourism Bureau?
Okay,
or?
That's an endless talk for another hour or more of a podcast.
It's their Scott Wells podcast.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right.
So
that's
we
right.
couldn't even cover that even if the time we had, Scott.
Okay. Another time.
Another time.
Because
yes.
I think that's an important thing a lot of people need to know about how to promote themselves. I mean, a lot of guys are good magicians, but they don't know the first thing about marketing and business and you know, how to put money back or how to handle all that. Then too.
John Lakes? Here.
Okay,
right.
Then.
I always
be seeing
enjoy
you.
Your act.
So, also that, Ali, I was going to ask you about, you say that you had your bachelor's, and that, what is it that you enjoyed about this convention so far this year? What inspired you? What do you say that you like?
Okay, well, it was wonderful to be here as Steve Bergazzi was the guest of honor.
Yeah.
I think he's extremely well-deserving, and his style is very inspirational to me as a guy that does talking and comedy.
Yes.
It's great to see him and watch him receive all these well-deserved accolades.
Right. Right, so you really supported him then, too. The next year is going to be Sean Farquhar. You know,
yeah, another great guy, a real giver in magic. I spend a week with him out at Sorcerer Safari in Canada. So
yeah.
These guys are so talented, and they equally spend so much time giving back to the community that they love, and that's beautiful.
Well, the Sorcerer Safari, have you been one of the teachers also?
I was. Last year was my first year on staff. I'll be going back this summer, and I highly, highly recommend it.
And you were one of the campers earlier as well?
I was, just a staff. Member.
Okay. Always. Okay. Yeah, I've talked to some other guys, and that really apparently is quite a life-changing
place
event.
To be.
Yeah. Yeah. And awesome. So, getting back in, Katerina, as far as, tell me something more about as far as how they get tickets, or more about getting into the, to see your show.
Well, you can purchase the tickets online.
At
mindtrippingshow.com.
Mindtrippingshow.com.
Yes.
And it's at the Hilton.
Yes.
You said then. How much are tickets?
It varies. I mean,
yep. Okay.
So just go to the website. You can find out all
everything
the information
you need
on
to know.
The website. Exactly.
Okay, over there.
Yep.
And for those who are listening but don't know about, tell a little bit about the show as far as it's a two-person, not just a two-person mind reading show. It's more than that.
Oh, yeah. That's just a small part of the show.
Sure.
I mean, it is. It's a 90-minute show.
Yeah.
And my husband, as you know, is very funny. So it's a very fun, very funny show. Lots of audience participation because that's what mentalism is all about.
Right.
So... And it's a little bit hard to describe because you have to see it to know exactly what we're doing. So I just think it's a great show, obviously.
Let me tell you. I've seen just an excerpt of this show.
Yeah.
And these two people combine high-level magic with a dynamic that they flow so well together. You're laughing. You're having fun. You're being entertained. You're being amazed all at the same time.
You're high. hired, Allie.
There
I
you
love
go.
You. She's hired.
That's right. See, that's the kind of marketing that you need. You can get
exactly.
those kind of snippets
it
you
be
see.
The and PR. Put the... I love it. It's true. It's true. Every yeah. single word. True.
Well, I have heard it said that a lot of women don't get involved in magic because they don't have pockets. You know, however, I noticed that today... Ines?
Yeah.
She had a dress that had you know, these big pockets that were really great, however, for it. You do sleight of hand and everything, and that do you find that to be a problem at all? Or?
I think that is a lousy excuse for any young lady out there that would like to do magic.
Good.
So we have other things that we can use.
Sure.
Like, so that's not an excuse.
Right. And so what about you?
I don't do sleight of hand.
You don't do sleight of hand.
No,
so
I do
by
not.
Doing not just mind reading, because that's always a great thing about having a mind-reading act or mentalism or something that you can carry things in your mind and paper and everything you don't have to worry about.
But you do have a lot of props on the show, though.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. But you don't even have a lot of pockets. You know, sleight of hand.
I do use pockets, believe it or not, for some of the props. But no, I mean, well, it depends. I mean, it depends on what you're doing. There's so many different types of magic, you know,
yeah.
so you have to figure out what works for you and
yeah.
then determine whether or not you need pockets for what you're doing.
Right. Right. So what is your favorite kind of magic now?
My favorite kind of magic? I mean, 4F.
Did you like to watch? Did you
yes,
like to
I was going to say 4F. I mean, holy cow, you see so much here. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't take it all in because it's so, wow. I mean, you're just inundated with seeing so much. I have to say, Danny Deertis was probably my favorite because he was so crazy and funny in that wacky kind of style, which I like.
Right, right.
So I'd never seen him before, so that was kind of
exciting. First, okay,
my
so,
first
yeah.
time seeing him.
Yeah.
So,
Allie?
Yeah, that was
my favorite style of
yeah,
magic?
Yeah, favorite style of magic. What do you like to watch, and what do you like to then do yourself?
So, comedy, talking.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know if anybody has seen her act. Her act is fabulous. Oh, my
I
gosh.
The, it is good.
Oh, my God. It is.
Yeah.
It's great. I love it. It's very clever, which I also have to say I love cleverness, so and she's very clever. So, and that's obviously a key part of your act, and it's great. I love it. So it's a fantastic act.
Well, let me ask, in closing over here, what you would give as far as recommendations or encouragement for other young ladies?
Well, go. Do
when
it.
You get into magic.
Yeah, do it. You have to start somewhere, though. So start local. See if you can find a local magic club, you know, where you can learn magic, because you've got to learn
so
it from
you encourage
somewhere.
Them to join a club.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And don't think of yourself as a lady in magic. Think of yourself exclusively as a magician, because this is really an art where there doesn't need to be any barriers on your gender, your religion, your
race.
Your race. So just surround yourself with any magician, male or female, and try and learn.
And draw on your experiences.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, and your culture, your background, whatever, rather than trying to be somebody else, because nobody can be you but you, I think, you know.
And since we talked about so many different types of magic, you have to find the magic that works for you, and that's going to take a while to develop and figure out what
and how do you do
is
that?
Your style. I think you just have to go and try and experience and learn, and it's not going to come in 2 days. You know, it's going to take some time to figure out exactly what fits your style and your personality and
right.
what you enjoy.
Right.
So
right.
you have to kind of just work through that.
You still like feel like you're still searching to some degree?
I don't think so. No.
You feel like you found your chi?
Yes.
And I'm
yes.
going to disagree. I'm going to say it's always a work in progress.
Yes. But I know I'll never be a manipulator.
Oh, right.
So
fair enough.
But I love to watch it, but that's yeah. not what I'm going to be. So
fair
I know
enough.
I'm not going to work on that end because that's not what I'm going to do.
Which
I agree. As far as our particular areas, yes, I would agree. We're always
which would lead to my next question about where do you each individually see yourselves in 5 and 10 years from now?
Wow.
In magic. I mean, not necessarily.
I was like, on a plane.
On a plane.
25,000. Easy, Scott.
Yeah.
That's a, wow. Where do I see myself? You know, I would say I don't know. I don't know if you can answer that question with the market and the economy and the way things are going and things changing. And because I think even entertainment has a cycle. You
yeah.
know, sometimes magic is really, really popular, then it goes down, then it's back up. And I think mm-hmm. that's with any form of entertainment. I mean, I love
okay.
what we're doing now, so I'd love to continue as long as possible.
Yep. So no goals or plans other than just continue the
I'd
same course, stay the course.
And, well, we're working on new stuff,
yeah.
so new things as far as the show coming out. So that's always,
good.
Like she said, a work in progress. We're
good.
Always trying to improve there and maybe do a different show and add another show or something like that. So.
Anything, Allie?
Let's see. In 5 years, I'll be... Oh, wait. I'm too old to do that now, aren't I?
You're
not allowed
away.
To ask
yeah.
those
give it away.
Okay, so how much do you weigh? Yeah. Okay, we'll wrap up. My last question is, since
wait,
this
we're
is
we're going to meet back here at 4Evan.
Of course.
That's right. It's going to be around for a long time. The name of the podcast is called The Magic Words. My question to each of you then is, what is your magic word? It might necessarily be, you know, abracadabra or something in your show, but what is it? It's a credo, you know, something, it's a philosophy you live by or something, you know, like that.
My great-grandmother, who lived to 100 years old, mm-hmm. always used to tell us, attitude is everything. So good show, bad show, it doesn't matter. Everything is a learning experience on the stage and off the stage. So my magic words that I tell myself is just attitude is everything and try and find. I mean, it's very simple. It's very cliche, but she lived to 100. So she's
work for her.
She actually knows something.
She had a good attitude. Yeah.
That is awesome. And you're right, because the key there, what she's telling you, is you all control yourself. It's all internal to you. So what happens around you really is up to you. Mm-hmm. And whether or not you're going to take that as positive, negative, what you're going to do with it. So it's all
okay. So you can't steal her word. So what
that's
is your
great.
Word then?
Okay, mine is have fun.
Have fun.
Have fun.
Yeah.
You have to have fun.
That's
or
good.
It's not worth it.
Perfect. Thank you guys very much. Well,
thanks,
I appreciate
Scott.
It.
Thanks
Thank
for
you for your time. Glad you were there. Thanks a lot. It's over the magic word. This is Scotty out. All right, the show is over, and we're still kind of walking around getting some perspective. George Silverman.
Hi.
And Dr. Don Potts, how are you doing?
Great, thanks.
Steve, I can never pronounce
Dupere.
It. Dupere. Okay. Steve.
Super dupere.
Steve. So what do you guys think of this year's convention?
I thought it was one of the best I've ever been to. I've been coming about 16 years.
Yep.
And I thought it was just one of the best.
And what made it so? I mean,
especially Friday night, I was fooled so many times that I thought I was a beginner again. I thought I was a layman. So I got to see magic that I experienced as magic. Things I didn't have any idea how people did them. So I saw impossibilities rather than just magic tricks that I was looking at from the standpoint of presentation and stuff.
Yeah.
I just had what the F and what the how could this have happened? How did he do that?
Just wow. Yeah.
Exactly.
Don?
Right. I think the personalities that were here and the energy that was here was just phenomenal. Both on stage as well as off, walking around, everybody was so open. New stuff. Mm-hmm. Very dynamic people. Really great sharing stuff this year.
Ron, when you excellent. Talk about new stuff, I mean, you're right. It wasn't just a different twist on Matrix or, you know, something like that.
Right.
Really off the wall kind of weird stuff I wouldn't have thought of.
Absolutely. Some of the competition acts were, just way out there. Some great principles, some great ideas, and just some great entertainment.
Steve?
For me, it was, I missed last year, and it was great. Mm-hmm. For me, it was one of the best in the past many years that I've had, spending time with some of the new guys who I mm-hmm. can call friends now, and some of the, some guys like Bargatze, who we spent some personal time with, and, you know, Gene Anderson, and a few others. And it's rekindling those friendships and learning from them and spending some alone time with these guys and picking their brains. It's valuable time that I can't get anywhere else.
Also, just building on that, while we've had some terrible losses, magic is safe. Magic is not dying out, where the new guys are so creative, skilled, and nice.
Yeah.
Really nice guys.
Yeah.
They are not
smug,
you know, right?
Yeah.
And they are
self-centered.
Just,
very generous. Well, particularly here, or you don't come back, you know. Basically, I think that's what Obi really excels in, of getting the right mix of people here who want to share.
Yeah, and exactly with sharing, you know, usually you ask people kind of tactfully if they did something that was. You say, "Are you willing to share that?" And I respect it when people don't want to, but I haven't had anybody say no.
Right. Even with these pet effects, people really show. I mean, like Sean Farquhar was showing something that he said, "I've been working on this for 3 years, and I've shown twice in the UK, but I've never shown in the US." And he was showing us, and it was just, you know,
and people, it was a hell of an idea.
That was very cool.
Tell anybody else, even magicians, but they were willing to share under confidence. And and it was just amazing.
Yeah. So was there anything then, you three guys, that you saw that you would actually start to use or go back and kind of work on?
Well, I'll never wear lipstick again, I'll tell you that, but it was probably one of the best experiences of my life.
I got a couple of good pictures of that, by the way.
I'm sure you do. They better not go on the web without my...
Well, maybe it'll be a little late for that.
They're already on there. They're already on the web.
There we go.
Okay. Yeah, you might see this picture there on the blog, but basically,
that's
those of you
cool.
Just getting it through iTunes, essentially, this is that Ines, from Spain, put on red Trump, lipstick
charming.
And then put black lipstick on Steve, and then they kissed on both sides of a card, basically.
With a lot of byplay.
A lot of byplay, yeah. A lot of innuendo.
Images of the lips turned inside rather than outside of the...
Yeah.
And it was a very nice effect, as well as very funny.
And as pretty as she is, and she's a beautiful woman, she's an even better magician. She's fantastic.
She is very good, and she knows how to use her wildly ways, I guess, you know, womanly ways. And
yes.
It seems like to her advantage, you know. And you really engage the audience.
I thought it was my mojo.
Well, you know, she did take use of this. She went and looked right over me and said, I'll take you.
I was going to look at Bargatze and say, she likes muscle.
She certainly has built-in misdirection.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But, Scott, that, I think, answers your question. I think the take-home thing from this year's Vector was it's all about presentation. I mean, the thing to work on is it's not the trick. There were some very simple tricks that really fooled a group of very knowledgeable magicians here.
Yes.
It was the presentation and the delivery of that magic, and that's what we got to work on.
I did see that there were a lot of people who did what looked like little vignettes or acts. You know, I mean, there were dramatic plays almost, you know, that...
Right.
The one guy, Mark Davies, or I think it was, from Wales, had done something that, you know, he had brought tears to his eyes and he was talking about whatever, problem with what was landslide or something. Anyhow, different people had different things, and the guy who was doing the balloon and the cactus in nice little, they were little playlets, so to speak. So kind of that was a takeaway, I think, is to see how can you make something more dramatic.
Right.
You know,
build
even if
creativity.
Even if you have a comedy act, you can still put something in there to have those flow of emotions.
And even though Chris's cactus and balloon was not pure close-up, you know, I think it was a highlight because a lot of people appreciated the presentation and the effort that went into it.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Fooled the hell out of me.
Yeah. Cool.
I'm not ashamed to admit.
I'm not going to tell you how it's done. I've seen it many times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There was a lot of things that really fooled me.
Yeah. Right. Well, great. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it. Get that feedback, and I'm glad that you like it. And we all seem to have enjoyed it. I don't think anybody had any bad marks to give, over there. So overall, great. Thanks again.
Thanks, Scott.
Okay. For the magic word, Scotty out. And so we wrap up a 43rd year, another year of Fector's Finger Flicking Frolic, with about 200 and some people in attendance and from all over the world, and some really great performances and just kind of great hanging out with folks, too. One thing that wasn't mentioned, by the way, is that each year the members will vote on a VIP, or the person who was there, I guess, MVP, most valuable participant. And last year went to Dennis Baer from Germany. This year went to Danny D'Ortiz. So he's going to be back then next year. And, of course, next year's guest of honor is going to be Sean Farquhar. After that will be Oscar Munoz. Typically, these aren't announced until just at the end of the convention, so I suspect after Oscar's year that it will be a mystery as to who will follow him. But anyhow, this year is now in the history books as everyone's kind of saying goodbye and shaking hands and still sessioning and having donuts and scotch and beer and enjoying themselves in the wee hours of the morning. As to me, my flight leaves awfully early, so I've got to head out of here at 4 a.m., so not planning on getting much sleep tonight. So anyhow, that's all from the 43rd Fector Finger Flicking Frolic, and that's all from the participants as well. So we bid you all a fond farewell until next year for the 4F. But in the meantime, be sure and stay tuned and listen to the magicwordpodcast.com for more exciting and interesting and entertaining interviews, chats, and fun, and podcasts, blogs, photos, and videos, and more. Be sure and come back often. We'll see you later on down the road. As for now, this is Scotty out.